All right. Well, I'm, Franco just finished Broken Age. I kept wanting to say Breaking Dawn, and then and then my mind went to Breaking Bad, and then not working. I finished it a couple weeks ago, so my mind is not as fresh as Franco's. But so what'd you think, Franco?
Very good. I mean, obviously, the game design was very good. The acting and the voice act again, this the last part was pretty good. Puzzles were a little, some of them I got right away, some of them I had to help with. Especially at the end, the when they're jumping back and forth, you kind of know what they want, but the wiring puzzles were just insane.
I definitely had to look that one up.
And even I kind of like the way they, the idea of it, but everybody, I think it's random, some of the wiring. So the symbols you get to match up, especially on Shay's stuff, is I saw some of the walkthroughs is random. So it's like that walkthrough can't tell you what it is. You have to figure it out for yourself through trial and error. If you once you put it back in the charger, it'll tell you what your symbols are. So it's like, oh, that terminal does this, this terminal does that, and direction makes a difference.
Yeah, for sure.
So, story-wise, I liked it. My favorite part was when the two acolytes finally just like said, "You know what? I found something to believe in, each other," and they flew off on the bird. That one I thought was that was like the greatest part of the game, I thought. But now that I'm, it just ended, I'm thinking, well, it was kind of a, like, okay, and we're done, and everybody got back together, sort of some exposition with the one thing when Fella is on the computer with the Merrick, basically they use the women to revitalize their blood DNA bloodlines, And they, I don't know how they make the logistical leap that a 14-year-old boy is the best judge of
Because his heart is pure. I'm sorry. I don't know too many 14-year-old boys. Their heart is pure.
No.
Maybe like 10-year-olds, like 10, 9, maybe 8. But yeah. 14-year-old boys, no. I don't think. I know that I wasn't pure-hearted at 14, so I don't expect a boy to be.
End up picking up a whole bunch of Selena Gomez's. So yeah, that was kind of like a convenience point, I guess. But other than that, yeah.
I definitely agree with you with the, that it would have been nice to kind of have a sense of what went on afterwards. I mean, I know like in the credits they had illustrations. Frankly, at that point, I didn't care, so I didn't look at them all. But they did have illustrations to kind of give you a sense of, kind of what happened afterwards a little bit. No, I definitely would have liked to have seen how some of those, like how some things got resolved and, like what did the towns do now that, now that there was no Maidens Festival? Like, do they,
Right. I did like that in the second act that where there was actually mingling of the two different towns with the parents, and the, her little sister hooked up to some of the cupcakes. and the grandpa was dueling with the other kid.
Yes, I did. I enjoyed that as well. I was kind of like Bella's little sister. She was cute with the cupcakes, and you know, I liked how she got along with the guard girl, and you know, so yeah, I definitely enjoyed all of that. And like, you know, towards the end, I was like, you know, Bella's family's really nice. Like, I really like them. Like, they're just genuinely nice people. Like, because they're the ones that's like, you know, going around and like talking, you know, and starting these relationships with these townspeople.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, like the dad was encouraging, you know, the other dad, and, you know, the mom was over there, you know, comforting the rejected Maiden's Festival girl. And yeah. I was like, this is a really, you know, not to be a play on words, sweet family.
Okay.
You know, bakers and somebody. Yeah. Which I guess maybe that's what they were, you know, kind of going off of is, well, Grandpa isn't that sweet, but.
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah, I thought he was pretty
cool. But he was nice. He was nice. But yeah, no, and with the puzzles, I basically had a walkthrough open this entire part. Like, this entire fourth part, the walkthrough was open in another browser because, like, I had trouble, like, figuring out anything. And I don't know if it was just the time I was playing it. Maybe I was just, you know, out of it or extra tired. But, like, I was like, I don't know this, I don't know that. And, yeah, so I had to look up a lot.
That's Tim Schafer for you.
What's that?
What?
That's Tim Schafer for you.
Yeah.
Likes to do really obscure and like puzzles where you have to actually be paying attention.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, there's a couple that, you know, once I got it, I was like a little slap in the head, like, you know, like with the knots. Oh, yeah, okay, it's the fisherman's, but I know the knots.
Yeah.
But still, the way that you solve it is like, okay. Then you have to figure out what the pictures mean, like, you know, grab a banana or, you know, separate two, you know, you have to get the starting point from Featherer, I guess his name
was. Yeah.
And I was surprised in the credits. That was Jack Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
him and Tim Schafer kind of have a bromance going on after Brutal Legend.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, the ones I could see, like, how in the world you're supposed to do it is the, you know, the knots. And, although I did fight my way through the wiring diagrams. That's why it probably took me so long.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I enjoy complicated puzzles, but I don't enjoy it to the point to where, and maybe that's something against me myself, but you know, and every player is different, but I don't enjoy it to the point, you know, I don't enjoy it after a certain point. After a certain point of, like, sitting there and being like, I don't know, like, I've tried to look for this answer for a half hour, you know, maybe not even that long, like 20 minutes, you know, I'm like, I'm ready to move on. I want to see what else is happening. And so it drives me to look for a walkthrough. And I mean, I guess, and I think we've had this conversation before with Grim Fandango, is because I had the same issue with that, in that I didn't, and I think it's just, I don't know, like, maybe me personally or just game playing now, like, you don't feel like that you have the time, you don't feel like you have a half hour or an hour to spend on one puzzle, you know, or even one part of a puzzle. So, you know.
Never play the dig.
Never play dig?
Yes. It's another LucasArts game. That was a game where this was before, like, the internet, and you could easily go onto a website and look up a walkthrough of it.
Right.
This game, I got stuck so badly in a part where I had no idea what to do and basically didn't play the game until I just happened to stumble upon a player's guide for the game.
Yeah.
And then was able to get past it. And then it was like, oh, well, if the game actually told me that I could actually investigate an item, then I would have been able to solve this puzzle no problem. But because there was no prompt for you to even do that, you don't even think to look for that.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, I would not be able to. I've reached that limit in my gaming life that it's not something that's plausible for me. I get too frustrated. I get way too frustrated. Yeah, but then some people, you know, they're okay, you know, some people are, you know, don't have as much trouble. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, it kind of like, you know, this game will sometimes degrade into just hammering, all right, do you want to use the peach? No, you don't want to use the peach. All right, how about this guy? Does he want to use the peach? No, he doesn't want to use it. Who wants to use the peach? You know?
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, I know I have to get something. I know I have to get the cane off the old guy. What is it going to take to get, right? And, yes, you know, he kept offering the cupcake, and he's like, it's got icing on it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't catch that either, Franco. I didn't catch that whole, because I was like, yeah, I need that cane. I need the cane for this something else. So how do I get it? And I looked up the walkthrough, and it was like, you know, take the cupcake to, you know, or, you know.
What's his name's father, who only eats the tops of the, like, how am I supposed to know that?
Who only eats the cupcake top. And I was like, and it gets to the point where, like, I mean, like, and I think my problem with that was that I had offered it to everyone except him. Like, it was one of those things, like, I had gotten to a point in playing where I was just offering items to people. And just seeing what they would say, because I was completely, like, I didn't know where to go next.
Yeah.
And I think I had made, he was the one person that I was like, I don't think he doesn't want this cupcake. Like, this is ridiculous. And then I, like, stomp off and to go and try and do something else. But, and then when I read that he was the one, I was like, of course he was the one. And then I probably hit my head up against my desktop.
And it's like, you know, I could, you know, I was trying to figure out which joke to tell the tree, and it's like, but none of these, the second line of the jokes don't make any sense.
Oh,
and
it's
and it's, it turns out it was the third line that you get in the one joke that turns out to be the one that makes them laugh.
Yeah. I didn't, it's like, that was a walkthrough for me, still. I completely, did I do any puzzles on my own? I don't know.
Well, that one, I had to look up the joke, but I knew once that the singing bass fell down into the tree, I said, ah, that's for the fishermen, you know?
Yes, exactly. I could kind of figure out, like, sometimes where the islands would go, but... Yeah, I just, but story-wise, like, I like the story. I kind of expected more from the story, I guess. Just because this is a game that's kind of celebrated for its, you know, I thought it's like, you know, a lot of people like it. They were like, yeah, it's a really good, like, story, has a really good, but, you know, I felt like the last part was kind of rushed. And again, that
the
kind
the
of
ending,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, that kind of goes along with them not really explaining things and, like, what happens after this. But even the story part at the end felt kind of rushing. It felt like that they were just trying to, like, solve it, you know, and to get everyone together and to get them out of there, because it seemed like in this fourth part that we played that there wasn't that much story. Like, it just kind of, like, it was just a bunch of tasks you had to do. And, you know, and then it was like, oh, okay, everyone's together. You're good. Everything's fine.
Right.
And Tim has even gone on to say that he has trouble ending stuff, too. But what we got is just, like, I hate it when people will do that sort of ending. Because yeah. I feel like it just cheapens everything that you've played through far. And it's and you, I just feel so completely ripped off when I get an ending like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And especially when the first half was so well crafted.
Yeah.
I believe. And just with the jokes and with, you know, the humor and with the story, and you felt like that you were kind of building towards this kind of weird, you know, like with his story, with this weird space stuff. And then, and then the third part, you're kind of like, okay, well, maybe it's bridging to something better. Maybe it's bridging to like this amazing climax, you know, this amazing ending. And instead, like you said, like, it's just like, it's just kind of there. It's just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, it's just a bunch of puzzles and the ending, which is just everyone getting together and okay, everything's good. But,
It's just like, it's just everything is wrapped up too nice and neatly. And it's
And there's no explanation. And not only is it wrapped up nice and neatly, it's also just wrapped up so quickly.
Yeah, and it you get no sense of closure when you get that type of ending.
No,
And I hate it when anime does that as well. Because it's just like, you've invested all this time into this story and these characters, and it's like, oh, we're just going to show a clip show because we kind of either ran out of budget or just got tired and wanted to move on to something else.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and they also do that in television, I guess. I guess it's just, but, I don't know. Like, yeah, I was kind of, and it kind of, it does, it cheapens the rest of the game for you, you know? And then it even makes it to where, like, when you tell people about it, you're just like, yeah, it's a, because, like, the ending is the last thing you played, so you're just kind of like, yeah, it was an okay game. You know, even though the beginning was really good, you know, the ending is just kind of subpar. It's kind of like going to see the Boston fireworks on the 4th of July. You know? You get built up to it, and you get built up, and then the ending's just kind of like, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like, I've sat out here since 3 o'clock today in the heat, you know? I got my mace confiscated.
Your what confiscated?
My mace. We got our glow sticks confiscated.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. You're a terrorist.
We couldn't bring in our cooler. And I was like, you know, and so, like, I'm like, I've been here since 3 o'clock in the heat, suffering, paying money for your stupid snacks and food. And this is what I get. This is the ending I get. Thanks a lot, Boston Fireworks.
I will say, though, that the whole cooler and everything is something fairly recently and is 100% has to do with the marathon bombing.
Oh, sure. And that's what my roommate was saying.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like she went out and bought a cooler, and she went out and, like, you know, like, bought all this stuff, and then she brought it home. We were, like, sorting it out, and she was like, oh, crap. She was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to take that in.
Yeah.
But then, it's on, like, the site, like, you know, no coolers, no backpacks, no this, no that.
No fun.
And yet, what did we see when we were inside without our coolers and backpacks? People with coolers and backpacks. Huh. So I was like, something is fishy here. I can't place my finger on it. But then, like, the coolers, like, I think that we could have brought ours in. This is completely off topic. I think we could have brought ours in because it was like a tote cooler. But then, because on the site, it said rolling coolers. And I totally saw people with tote coolers. Not only tote coolers, but also like a regular cooler without wheels. that they had to carry around. So it's like, what's the differentiation between a regular, like a cooler you carry, and a cooler with wheels? So
those are the people that know people.
What is the deal here? And then the lady was like, when my roommate went to the line, she's the one that had like $15 worth of glow sticks in her purse. And the lady when they were going through security, she was like, I'm sorry. She was like, we don't allow these in here. Not because of the stuff that's in them. But she said because people throw them at other people.
Yeah.
But you know what that was code for? We don't want you to bring them in because we want you to buy them from our vendors.
Exactly.
Because they had vendors inside selling the exact same thing they confiscated.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just kind of like on rails. We were like, oh my gosh, like everything that, yeah. So, anyways. The moral of the story.
That's actually probably a good idea, Steph, to bring it back. What they should have had is not had a nice little ending fireworks in the game. And you could go around and talk to everybody and have a nice little ending conversation.
I like that. Kind of after the game. That's what they should have done. They should have had, like, you know, how some games will have, like, you can go back into the game after you beat it and, like, talk to people and, like, you know, go around to different places. I mean, because there's nothing preventing you from going back in the game. I mean, going back to, like, the towns that Bella was from, at least.
Yeah.
But, anyways. C'est la vie, you know?
Although, I still, you know, to summarize, I still... I mean, the writing was great.
Yeah.
I thought the dialogue was pretty funny.
Oh, sure.
And pretty creative. I think if you could just get a little bit more I guess the word I'm looking for is continuity in the puzzles, where they're not so obscure. I guess, yeah, as you say, it's trademark it is, but maybe, you know, just a tick, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, blatant. You know, it doesn't have to be Skyrim-ish, where, you know, it's like, you know, indicators go where you need to go, but...
Yeah.
So I guess it wouldn't be so frustrating if the traveling wasn't so disjointed, where you had to look, every panel you had to load, you know, from A to B to C to D.
Yeah.
So it was like, if you made it maybe a little faster for me to get from to A to D, it wouldn't be so...
It was definitely
annoying that you had to backtrack.
Right. It was definitely tailored after older, you know, point and click games.
Yeah.
To have that kind of, in order to figure out puzzles, we have to, like, go from this place to another place, which could take you a couple, you know, like 3 minutes to, like, walk that distance. But I don't know. It was good. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I finally played it because I'd had it in my Steam library to play for like 2 years and just never got around to it. But it was definitely a good play. It was a good play.
Yeah.
As the characters, I really love the characters in it.
Yes.
And the art style. The art style was really good. I thought that is something that makes the game kind of stand out from really anything else. And still have, I mean, there are other games I've seen that have similar kind of intriguing art styles and in the point and click genre, but they seem to be a little more maybe kid oriented than Broken Age is. But, and that's one thing about Broken Age is that it's kind of, you can sit your kids down with it or you can enjoy it as an adult, kind of like a Pixar or Disney movie. Oh, there's Buffalo must be getting really tired.
Yep.
They are just running their little legs off. All right, let's get to 9:10. Let's get to scoring. I mean, Franca, you've kind of given me your final thoughts. You know, the writing was great. The dialogue was funny and creative. you know, the continuity in the puzzles. What would be your score, your final score that you would give the game?
I'll give it a solid 8.5.
8.5?
Yep.
I'm sorry, the buffalo were running through, so I didn't quite get that.
Before. 8 and a buffalo chip.
Great. All right, Stanton, what's your final thoughts and score?
So, because I backed the game, and, well, not really because of that, but because I got the chance to kind of watch the game progress as they were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more appreciation for what the game came out to be.
Yeah.
I have issues with it. You know, primarily the ending where it just ends and then, oh, here's some just little doodles to kind of fill in the gap of what happened at the end. And it was just, that part really kind of angered me in a way because it was just, you know, I had spent so much time invested in this game. Like, they started back in 2012.
Yeah.
It took them, what was it, 5.5 years?
I think so,
have the completion of, like, everything, well, the actual game complete, the boxed version came out months after that. But to like, be invested for that long of a time, and we get that ending, it was just, it was such a letdown, really.
Oh, sure,
But with that being said, the writing was fantastic. You really could get involved with these characters, and I think that's one of Tim Schafer's strong points, is just really character building and the humor and everything that goes in with it. The art style was fantastic, and, you know, a lot of respect to the lead artist and everyone involved in making the game for what it is. So, that being said, I won't say that I'm giving it a low score because there were no dogs, but I think that the what were they called? The little knit buddies there. I'm drawing a blank at their name, but those guys and the Hexapals, I think more than make up for no dogs in the game.
Okay, sure.
They were a good substitution, I would say.
Okay.
But I would give this game an 8.5.
Okay. All right. Great. I agree with a lot of what you guys said. The art, the art's what kind of, I think, originally drew me to it. And then just what I had heard about the game. The art style was definitely something that put it on my list. That's definitely something that I think was done extremely well. It was extremely, the art style was extremely, had a lot of continuity, had a lot of, it was very consistent throughout the game, a lot of consistency. The characters, I loved the characters. I loved the dialogue when I wasn't frustrated over the puzzles. There were times where I was frustrated over the puzzles, I admit, and I was like, I don't care. Like, just give me, like, I just need to get to the next part. Give me to the next part. And so when I wasn't frustrated with the puzzles, I enjoyed the dialogue. And, the characters, a lot of the characters, I'm like, they could have their own game themselves. You know, they're very interesting, very engaging, as you said, Stanton. And my kind of cons about it is, you know, again, you know, just the puzzles just aren't my style. You know, I mean, they work for a lot of people, and a lot of people love the game and don't have any qualms with the puzzles for some reason. Something about the style of these puzzles just drive me crazy. And also the ending, just where it was, seemed a little rushed and a little like the last fourth part of the game, kind of the last half, but it didn't really start hitting into the fourth part. I was like, wow, we're really kind of rushing along here. We're really kind of going. And then there was really no, like, climax. You know, I mean, it was just kind of like, okay, it's done. For good. Credits. You know? So, as you were talking about saying, I would definitely like to have seen, you know, something a little bit more, gotten a little bit more fleshed out of an ending. You know. I mean, you know, it's just kind of weird because, like, you know, they're not... I mean, of course, I don't understand budgets with game. I mean, I know it has a lot to do with, like, how long people are working on it, you know, how much time their workers are putting into it, is how much they have to pay them. But, you know, because it's not like they're working with a time budget. It's not like that they have to cut it down in time. But, you know, I don't know. But again, you said that he admits to having...
Yeah, they, so,
trouble ending things.
Yeah, and they were only, I mean, they raised $3 million through Kickstarter, and then they had to raise a few more. So,
oh wow,
you know, that's why they did the first and second half, because they were hoping that the first half would bring in some more revenue. And then I think they also used the money, some money that was left over from Brutal Legend.
The first half. Okay, yeah.
To finish things off for the first half. And then, Double Fine Adventure, which is the whole documentary series, is up on Steam and you can buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it is an interesting, it's an interesting watch because it does give you an appreciation for
the design,
the process that everything went through in there. So yeah,
that would be something. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. Yeah, because I'd definitely be interested in that because. You know, in scope, looking at it, you're like, wow, they raised $3 million. Like, that seems like a lot. But, and I think for a lot of indie games, it would be. But this one, I mean, even though the ending is rushed, like, it's a very, it's a polished game.
Yes.
You know, I mean, as I said, like, the voice acting, the other thing that I really liked about it was the voice acting was wonderful. But, yeah, so, I mean, it is a very, I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, it could easily be something brought out by, like, a very well-known company, you know, with millions to spare, but, you know, for it to be a Kickstarter game, it does look very good to be a Kickstarter game. You have to give it that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, definitely something to consider.
Yep.
I'd probably stay with you boys and give it an 8.5. I think that's a good score for it. So I'm gonna stick with that.
Okay.
Alright, so solid 8.5 all around.
Alright. And you said Mason and why am I drawing a blank on her name?
Michelle.
Yeah. I wanted to call her Melissa, and I knew that was wrong. You said that they didn't play the game?
They did not. Okay. No, they started it, and they said it wasn't really their style. So this is our final score for it. So, okay. What remains of Edith Finch? Let me pull it up really fast. Let's see, because I wrote down, I played it, we're going to split it up into two parts, even though it is only 3 hours long. I just don't want to do it all in one, you know, a $20 game, all in one swoop.
I already played it all. I played it Sunday, I think.
Uh-huh.
I finished the whole thing, I couldn't stop.
Yeah, oh,
that's good. I think that's good testimony to the game.
I played it in one sitting as well.
Well, I will say, I played about an hour of it, and then I I stopped because I had to go and get something to eat or do something, and then I picked it back up and finished it, so.
Pull it up. Pop up. Okay. Alright, so, Franco, have you played this game at all?
Nope.
Okay, great. Retreat. Okay, so in the game, I'll go ahead and give you this pretense. In the game, you, and I'll post this on the group as well tonight. But in the game, you play, without giving anything away, you're playing this character that's kind of revisiting her home. And you kind of explore stories of different members of her family. I say all that to say that the stopping point for the first half of the game, at least from what I can calculate, will be Walter's story. So the stories are clearly marked. You know, it'll say, you'll know what story you're viewing or whose story you're playing. Because it'll be a story, it'll go back to the character that's exploring the house. And then she'll, you know, walk around and you go to another relative story when you get to their room or whatever. But, so when you finish Walter's story, when you play Walter's story and it's finished, go ahead and stop there. It should autosave. So go ahead and stop there, and that's the stopping point. Okay. It's about an hour and a half in.
Okay, at the end of Walter's story. Walter.
At the end of Walter's story, yes.
Okay.
It's Walter's story. It'll go back to the character that's exploring the house. She'll kind of say something about the story, and then it'll most likely autosave at that point. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, I'll post that in the group as well. That's about an hour and a half. And it's only like, I mean, honestly, I think I beat the game in like 2.5 hours. So this is probably like an hour and 10, 15 minutes in. But okay. I think that there's enough to have a good little discussion on it.
Yeah. I'm probably going to play it again because...
Easily done. And I think, like, and even playing it, I was like, there's a lot of stuff in here. I think that if I would go through and play it again, it would mean a lot more knowing other stories and knowing how it ends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it's definitely a good game. So you're in for a treat, Franco.
Okay, sounds cool.
It's a walking simulator, but it's probably besides or maybe along with Layers of Fear, probably my favorite walking simulator I've ever played.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I bring a cooler?
Yeah. Yeah. So have you ever played? I haven't played it. So if you haven't played it, that's okay. But the Unfinished Swan.
Yes. Yeah. That was a good one.
I bought the game. I mean, I bought it on sale because PlayStation had like a little sale when Steam was having their sale. So I bought it for like $3 or $4 or something like that. But because I've always wanted to play it.
And that is a very interesting gameplay style, too.
Yes. That's what I've heard.
That's a really that's a really good game, and it's it is a walking simulator type of game.
Yeah.
But because you're throwing paint around and everything, it brings a like completely different aspect into that like genre.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Sounds fun. I'm really excited to play it.
You're throwing paint around?
Yeah, because it's basically all you see is white. And you're throwing, like, paint or ink or something to find out where exactly you are. So it's like, as you're throwing it, it's, like, covering the objects that are around you.
Interesting.
So you can actually see what's in front of you.
I hadn't played Infinite Swan, but I saw this in something I read afterwards. Were you aware of one of the characters?
No, you just.
It is story that.
You faded out as soon as you were talking
about that. I was going to say. Whatever we were unaware of, we're still unaware of.
I think did we lose her?
Her phone might have died.
Yeah, could have. Oh no.
Stephanie.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, she was just about to tell us who shot JR in it.
I know. It's such... Oh, there she goes. Such classic video game movie plot. Just like, were you aware of the... And then it just dies.
And the guy gets shot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The murderer was... Boom.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess that's it for tonight, then.
I think so. All right. Tune in next week, kids, to see if Stephanie made it.
Yes.
She's back.
No. She there?
But not functioning. Hold on.
Yeah.
Can stuff just work the way it's supposed to? Please?
No, then we'd be out of jobs.
So
someone called, and I'm using my phone, so it automatically, it didn't silence the call, or it didn't just put you guys at the side, it completely shut out Discord.
Nice.
Done. Anyways.
So you said, was I aware of something?
There was a character in Edith Finch's story that is... from The Unfinished Swan.
Oh, okay. So that's who that was. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now that makes a whole lot of sense now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome.
I haven't played the game. I mean, I haven't played The Unfinished Swan, but I was reading stuff afterwards about it and or about Edith Finch. People were like, noticed it, who had played The Unfinished Swan.
That is really awesome. Okay.
Well, that might be a good candidate for the next game.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys.
All right.
I need to go.
Yep.
Head out.
All right.
So see you guys next week.
Yep.
All right. Go try to figure out your Wi-Fi.
Bye.
Oh, Lord. That's a lost cause.
Bye.